Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and also any of your podcast catchers, Amazon, iHeartRadio, YouTube, everywhere. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. One of our guests is already there's all sorts of cat power in the room. But I have to introduce my co-host, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Hello. How are we doing tonight?
Hi, Nicole.
Yay. Hi, Nicole.
We got two rambunctious guests tonight, and they've been on the show before, but never with you.
No.
Both of them. It's been
seven years
since this first guest has been on the show. And when he was on the show, Josie Cat was the guest host. He's I didn't know that we're going to talk about this. I didn't know that he was just starting out his acting career, and now it's really growing by leaps and bounds. The man who had two roles in the Puppet Master sequel, Blade the Iron Cross, and many, many other horror movies, House of Manson, all sorts of things. Noel Jason Scott, my friend, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be back.
Yes, and there's only probably one more person on the face of the earth that is more evil than you, Jet Noel, and I think he's right here. It's a singer, soon to be screenwriter and director and showrunner and all sorts of things. His new album, Road to Rots, came out last year, and a lot of people were supposed to perform for his birthday. That didn't happen. All sorts of things always going on with this man's life. It's Mortis, the Devil's Reject.
Yay!
Hi, Mortis. How are you, Mortis?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Taking every curveball thrown at me and reproducing new life from it.
Well, I don't think you've shown as much skin on the show before. I didn't know you had all these extravagant tattoos. You're wearing a.
Whoa!
Look at that. This is kind of. It's a very very dark heavy metal wife beater that you're wearing right now. So.
Check this out. This is from 713 Clothing of Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah.
Dracula.
That's right. You have a clothing line. You have all sorts of things. We're going to talk about all that. And we're going to talk a lot about horror movies and heavy metal and all the stuff that we love to talk about. Before we do, speaking of horror movies and heavy metal, you should go to Audible because they have books on all of that stuff. They have everything from Shakespeare to Smut. Actually, you can get this podcast on Audible. You just subscribe on Audible. It's great for free. And actually, today they had a 2-for-1 sale. So I got, I was pretty stoked. I got two autobiographies of people that I very much admire, Martin Short and Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols.
Ooh.
I got two of those for one credit.
Nice.
Now, if you go to audibletrial.com/DMS, then you get a free book and an unlimited amount of Audible originals. They have all sorts of Audible originals for you to try. And like I say, every now and then they have these 2-for-1 specials. I just listened to Rob Halford's autobiography from Judas Priest.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
A lot of heavy metal and anal sex stories in that. So go to audibletrial.com/DMS. Get whatever book you want. We're still sponsored by Doomy's Home Cooking.
Yay.
Best vegan food you ever had.
Oh. I went to Doomy's this weekend, actually, to get desserts for my friend's birthday party because they're vegan.
How did that go over?
Oh, they loved it. It was this big slice of Oreo cake. Fucking amazing.
Oh, that's great. And that's also made with tender love from Das Baker, which is the takeoff of Das Punk or the Industrial Club. 1253 Vine Street.
Is it Frank from Das Bunker?
I think so. I'm not sure, but
that's cool.
They call him Das Baker, but have you ever been to Doomy's Home Cooking at all?
No, but I know Frank from Das Bunker for maybe 35 years.
Right. You ever meet Phil Doomy? Because if you've been to Das Bunker, Phil used to sell tacos at Das Bunker. So it's a whole thing, but it's the best vegan food you ever had. I'm guessing you're not vegan because you're a large man like myself, but they have stuff that you would love. Philly cheesesteaks, pulled pork sandwiches. Last time I was there with Nicole, we had the new chicken cordon bleu sandwich. It was enormous. It was delicious.
Sounds great.
53 Vine Street. And they have...
I brought a friend there. They didn't believe me the chicken was vegan. They said it's like that Cartman episode of South Park where he makes her think it's real. That's how close it tasted. They really believed it was almost real chicken.
Well, I cheated on Doobies this week, and I actually went to another vegan restaurant, which is very good. The spot in Oceanside, which doesn't, there's no Doobies in Oceanside, so they don't compete. And their chicken was good. Doobies is better.
Doobies is the best.
There's some weird thing they do with the texture. I don't know how they do it, but they have shrimp po' boys. They have everything. They have Big Mac on the secret menu, and don't forget the fun fries. 1253 Vine Street. If you're in LA, there's one in Culver City. There's also one in Toronto, Canada. And
Big Mac.
One more sponsor, and we'll talk to you. Amortis is raring to go. His tattoos are jumping off his skin. You know what this is? You know I'd love to drink energy drinks. This is Ray's energy drink. This is the best. I saw what you were drinking. I've had that. This is better.
It is?
Because they're paying me. This is better. Ray's energy If you go to this show on YouTube or on a podcast catcher or Audible, there will be a code. And I'll post on social media at Dark Mark Show for 15% off a case of Ray's energy drinks. They have flavors like sour gummy worms. They have Baja Blast like Taco Bell. They have, this is the Apollo flavor. The best thing, and I forgot to do the catchphrase last week, because you don't get this at like 7-Elevens. You get this at gyms, GNCs, or use our code to get 15% off a case, which I did. I didn't do the, here's the catchphrase, and this is true. Zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. So I'm going to pop the top. I'm sorry?
I said it's a good catchphrase.
Mm-hmm.
Zero carbs, zero calories,
zero crash. Well, delicious. Oh, so much flavor. You can't even believe it.
I'm drinking this, and I can't say what it is because they're not paying me.
Yeah, that's it. Noel's drinking a beer. And he tore the label off, and you didn't have to do that because who cares? My YouTube hasn't been monetized for years, so don't worry about it. They don't like me. But Noel, Jason Scott, since you're on the screen, I'll start with you. And Morris, we'll get to you in a second.
Not a problem.
Now, when did you guys first meet? Or have you met?
Oh, what? Actually,
the first time we met, I met Lillian online back that, in.
That's how it works.
That sounded bad. They had a Halloween event coming up, and she had invited me to go to one of these. They host these great events, and my schedule, I couldn't make it. So then fast forward a few months, and we ended up getting cast. Yeah, Bloodfest. So we got cast in a movie called Zombie 8, the Roman numeral VIII.
Yeah,
three.
Three eyes.
Not to be confused with Zombie 8, because I'm a fat guy and I'm like, I eat everybody. But anyways, so Zombie 8 is an awesome movie. It just came out from Retroxploitation Presents, and was directed by Dustin Ferguson. And
who we've had on the show many times. I love Dustin Ferguson.
Very awesome.
Yeah. And I got to do my own special effects makeup, and I'm sort of the main zombie. I'm patient zero, and everybody should go check it out. And Lily and I, we got to meet on that set, and Mortis was there, and we all hung out and talked. And then, you know, now we're friends and working on planning on new stuff.
Oh yeah, I could imagine you guys getting along because you guys have the same sensibility. Now, Zombie 8, how far? I mean, is this a direct sequel to? And there's like 10 movies named Zombie. Like, which sequel is it to what?
There's seven named.
Okay,
Zombie.
So,
but I got that. But I mean, there's Zombie with just the eye.
Yeah,
Nicole, correct me if I'm wrong. There's Zombie with just the eye. Yeah. Then there's Zombie with the IE.
Yeah.
A couple of them.
Yeah. So it is an indirect sequel to Lucio Fulci's. I'm not sure if we could mention that or not, but he stole it from Day of the Dead, which is, you know, George A. Romero. So we're just stealing it back or whatever. I don't know. But
okay,
so
this is
reappropriate. We borrowed it, but the it's from an Australian company. is bringing back all, they love the 80s style horror movies. So this is part of their series. So they have a trilogy. I believe it's 5, 6, and 7. And then this is another one. This is the fourth one in that installment. And I don't know if it's going to keep going or not, probably. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So it's kind of like the Troll 2 of Dawn of the Dead. But good.
Maybe, maybe.
Like not directly related.
Yeah. Indirect okay. Characters loosely based on. But the thing that's really wild is that there's a character that's in Zombie that they said, well, you know what character you're playing, right? And I'm like, what? I thought I was just playing a character. He's like, no, you look just like him. You did your makeup just like him. And I'm like, what? So they fast forwarded to a scene in the movie and showed me this guy. And my mouth dropped. I literally look just like this guy that's on the sailboat. And he jumps up in the very beginning of Zombie and drops into the water, and you don't see him again. And here, fast forward 40 years later, and here I am. You know, it was wild. That's awesome.
It was meant to be.
I didn't even know what he looked like, and I just made up my makeup, and it's a perfect match.
So how does it feel to be the reincarnation of a zombie?
It's like, yeah, regurgitated death is good, you know?
Yeah.
Coming back for more. I had a lot of fun on the set. Dustin Ferguson is a blast to work with. Everybody involved in his shoots are awesome. And, you know, we had a crazy day all lined up, and it was scheduled like to the minute, and we got every single shot done. It was a long day, but we got tons and tons and tons of footage, and we just totally killed it. And it's now available from Retrosploitation. You have to insert the little, you know, website code to be able to order it, but you have to order it from Australia to get it, and it's available worldwide now.
Awesome. Can I just say, by the way, that Regurgitated Death sounds like an awesome metal band.
Yeah. It's almost as good as Carnage Asada.
That sounds
is it really a band named Carnage Asada? Is it really a band named Carnage Asada? Because that's awesome.
You ever seen From Dusk Till Dawn?
Yes.
When the Vampire Mariachi band? Yeah. That's like, that could be their name.
Maybe there's a side project here, like a super group of Mortis and Noel, Carnage Asada. Maybe we just started it. Maybe Nicole and I could do backup vocals or something, play the triangle. So Mortis. And
we can hire Johnny Bontos on drums.
Who?
We
can get Johnny Bontos on drums.
Sure, whatever. You know all the zombies. So Mortis, last time we were talking.
Yeah.
I want to make sure you get that full inhale. Last time we were talking, you were just about to do Mortis Fest for your birthday. You lost a year, like we all did. You had this big, inspired by your band's appearance, which is where I met you at Green Jello's Festival. You were going to put on your own festival. He had amazing, awesome acts like a goth comedian that was going to appear, and other great bands, and it was just so great. And then, how many times was it postponed? Like 10 times.
Yeah. I got rode hard and hung up wet 7 times with COVID last year to, like everybody else, just screwed all our plan. Said, no, you're grounded. Back in your room, bitch.
And did you get COVID?
No, it's just every time we had to plan something, COVID destroyed it last year, basically.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. What were you going to say, Nicole?
Oh, I just said that fucking sucks. I'm sorry.
It doubly sucks because Mortis put out his album last year. I always mess up Road to Rot, which I'm probably mispronouncing.
I put it out a week before they announced everything got shut down. So 3 tours got canceled.
Well, it came out like last March or so, right?
Actually last February,
right before the world.
Week, last year. Yeah, exactly. Before I had a tour planned out, performing with Sister Kill Cycle. I had some things going on with, R. Frankenstein. I was talking with Den Animal Assembly Plant with some other projects and a couple other people. And this is gonna be really cool. We're going to do East Coast, West Coast. We're talking about doing some stuff in Mexico. And at the end of the year, we were going to hop over to the European festival. So basically everything was set up for that. And then COVID, of course, so there's no more music. So we just sat back and decided to catch up on all our catalog and made a lot of music videos, mm-hmm. made a website, started working on other stuff.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those videos, a lot of blood, a lot of nudity. You always have a great aesthetic.
Oh, just wait.
Oh, you tell. We'll say that for a little bit later, but it sucks being a musician. You worked on the album for what, 6 months, a year?
Yeah.
I mean, you were just starting to build up steam. I had seen you at the Whiskey opening for Skull. That turned out really well. And you were just building up steam, and there was a whole Mortis train that was chugging along, and then...
Oh, yeah. And then derail, but that helped us catch up, regroup. In fact, that brings me another part of it. I haven't done anything really vocally in the last year, and that's mainly due to I have an issue with my notes.
I'm sorry, your notes?
Yeah, my notes.
Oh, your notes. I
Yeah, not my notes.
Yeah, the
notes. Not as nards.
Yeah, I thought he said. No, I didn't know what he said. I didn't know what you were talking about. That's awful.
I've lost a couple octaves. I'm having problems singing. Some days I can't really speak. So what I'm doing is I'm going to be seeing my doctor soon. My father is a ear, note, throat, whatever specialist type thing, and he told me get my appointment, check up, find out what's going on, and if it's just an infection, cool. If it's something more, he's going to have me come down to USC, and we're going to talk more about that later. So all my music at the moment was put on hold. We scrapped one of the films we were going to do called Gravebound, which is going to be, or was going to be, an industrial horror like movie mixed with like a Repo, Drag Me to Hell, and Queen of the Damned. But they're great. And without me being able to sing properly, I'm not going to be able to record the whole album along with all the stuff I need to do with it. So for now, a lot of my vocal recording has been putting on hold. So I decided to jump full into the whole entire horror and putting my movies out there and working on what I can. And then what we're going to do is once they tell me what I can and cannot do with my voice, I'm going to start doing therapy bit by bit. And while that's going on, I'm going to release all the stuff we have recorded already as it's being mastered throughout the year, getting ready for the new album for next year or the end of this year, which will start off a whole new epic of Faust, basically, with our theme.
Ooh. Awesome.
Nicole, did you want to say something?
I just said very cool.
I hope you get better.
By the way, I say this every show, but Zoom sucks. There's like a delay. If we were all in the studio, it would be so much more fun. But, Mortis, I had to figure. Now, I didn't know this until you just said this, but... It makes sense now. You come from money.
No.
Your father's a doctor.
No, I haven't even, didn't even get to know my father growing up. He took off when I was a kid.
Oh.
I just met him when I was like 15. I've met him 10 times in the last 20 years.
Okay, well.
The only time he's ever there for me is if it's death or, hey, I need money for a ticket. But he is there and supportive. It's just, no, he doesn't help for all that stuff. Yeah, everything I got to do on my own.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I was going to say, now it's good that he's got some good advice for you as far as this goes. I can't even imagine not being able to talk.
My family, lymphoma, or what is not, lupus, runs in our family.
Sucks.
So definitely want to get it checked out. Because usually my nodes are just from the allergic reactions to what's going on. And they've been swollen and won't go down. Mm. And it's been like that for a couple months now. I can take Benadryl and other stuff. So I need to go see what it is. Because there's been days like Lillian just trying to talk to me and it's just grumbles and gravel.
Well, some days that might be all that she wants to hear. But I was going to say the other thing too, is it possible because... And if anybody listens to Mortis's music, and we're going to play one of your tracks at the end of the show, if it's okay with you.
That's fine.
As we always do when you're on the show. You you strain your voice when you sing. You really sing in a powerful way.
Yeah.
I know doing karaoke as limited as I have, I blow my voice out after one song.
Yeah, I know. I'm classically trained. I studied in several music schools. I've been doing choir since junior high. I went to college, studied in music. So I'm classically trained. And when I realized I was losing my chords, I realized that's when I needed to see a doctor.
Okay, but it, the screaming would not have blown out and caused this with your notes.
No.
I'm asking Borges to Devil's Rejects for a medical opinion.
Right. No, what causes it, it's a mix between allergic reactions and stress.
Right.
And you know how the muscles right here in the back of your throat, in the back of your neck that are tied to when you're like really stressed out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the nodes are right on that muscle. So when you get more stressed, they help flare. And I had an incident a couple times where it was specifically told no garlic at a certain set or place. And they had minced garlic out in the open and my throat closed up, which didn't help either.
You're allergic to garlic?
I am deathly allergic to garlic since 9 years old.
Since you're
that's a sign of vampirism, of course.
Well, I'm also Romanian.
You're vampirism.
So it's a curse. It's fun because Italian food's amazing.
Italian food is the best food, I think. Like, I eat a lot of Thai food, but Italian food is just so good.
You want to stay from Buca to Beppo, just from me to you.
I didn't enjoy that place.
No, for Mortis. I mean, you can eat it, but I mean, it was a bad joke. Anyway, Noel.
Garlic. Stay away from the garlic.
No. Now, we've been friends. We've been friends since, I'd say, 2014 when we met.
Yeah,
I think I met you before the show because Noel's always at Skinny's and Scum Loves events. He's always rocking the karaoke. But and then you were on the show. We had you on the show with a beautiful burlesque dancer. Sheila Starciani and you had given me a pass to see the House of Manson, which you were featured in.
Thank you. Did you like it?
No, I really did like it. I mean, your role was very small. I actually liked the movie, but I didn't know that this was one of your first movies.
Yeah, no, that was literally one of my first movies. It was a tie between that and a movie called The Burning Dead with Danny Trejo, where I played a cannibal zombie from the Donner Party.
Oh, wow.
Now, you're
Donner Party is one of the most famous things about Colorado, where I'm from.
What's that?
The Donner Party. Are you aware of the Donner Party, Mark?
It's escaping me right now. I know I've heard of it.
Where the guys get stuck in the
history. Or do you want to tell it, Noel?
No, you go ahead.
Okay. So in Colorado, we have this terrible story about this group called the Donner Party they went into the woods and they got stuck there. They were going on their way to Oregon, I believe, specifically. And this is back in the 1800s. And so the first thing they did when they ran out of food was they killed and ate their Native American guides, which I thought was the stupidest thing because those are the only people who could get you out of your situation.
Yeah.
So the Donner Party is just famous for eating a lot of people. Like they at least
they preyed on their weak.
Now I know, but we're having on Jason McNeil in a couple weeks from show Star Stunts in Action, and he was your co-star in House of Manson.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And he said go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying Jason McNeil's amazing. He's a really super cool, smart guy, and he's kick ass when it comes to martial arts. Like I asked him, I said, "How many martial arts does Dave Lee Roth know?" And he gave me a list of every single person that Dave studied with. He knows everything about martial arts.
You asked about David Lee Roth's martial arts experience, not like Seagal or Van Damme.
No, because David Lee Roth, it was like, you always see him twirling and doing these crazy kicks. He's got multiple black belts in a bunch of different disciplines that a lot of people don't know about.
Right.
So, but I know Jason knows everything about martial arts. And plus, he's super cool.
Yeah. Well, he said that he worked with you on House of Manson. And then a couple of months later, Noel startled the hell out of me while I was jogging down Sunset, 2 a.m., running in place, totally in the zone, waiting to cross the street, and Dooms runs up, "Hey, Jason, what's up?" And that was you.
Yeah. I was just leaving, I think I was leaving the Viper Room. Viper Room, or no, I was, I don't know. I was over by where the Pink Dot is on Sunset, kind of where the,
right,
the
next House of Blues. Comedy Store, yeah.
Yeah. So I was there for some reason, and I'm sitting there talking with, I think, the security guard, and I turn around and look, and I'm like, hey, I know you. And he's just like, what? Oh, I actually do know you. So we sat there and talked for a few minutes. But yeah, no, it was just a weird random. But you always run into people you know in LA, you know? LA is a, especially Hollywood, is a small, knit, tight-knit community. And, you know, if you're, you hang out and, you know, I've run into someone I know everywhere I go.
Right. Well, my question is, and I don't think I asked you last time, but, and don't take this the wrong way.
Okay.
So this is a typical Dark Mark question. Don't take this the wrong way.
Okay, I'm ready.
But you started acting at an advanced age.
Yeah.
Your father with two children. Mm-hmm. You're, this light is fucking haunted. Your father with two children. It keeps shutting off and they shut it back on.
I know. I was wondering what's going on. I was like, you just sort of.
With the clapper on there?
Yeah, I don't know, but. So you're a father with two children. You're in your 40s, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Late 30s, early 40s. I just turned 50.
Oh wow, okay. So you're younger than I thought, but you look younger than you are. So you started acting at like 45?
Long story. So actually I tried starting like when I was about 23 or 24. The first movie I ever worked on was the movie Airheads. I was just a background extra.
All right.
I did a little bit of background work, but I wasn't, it paid minimum wage. And, you know, you if you got a gig, you know, it would be like $40 for 8 hours when it was $5 an hour. So it wasn't really my thing. So I did that for a little bit and then I took a break and had kids, went through a divorce. And then after the divorce, I ended up with all this time on my hands. So I said, you know, I'm going to get back into acting. And, you know, having lots of friends in the business, one thing led to another. I ended up getting cast in a play and then doing my zombie makeup. We used to do charity zombie walks. Some people tagged me in a conversation and I got cast in a Danny Trejo movie at the exact same time I got cast in House of Manson. So,
right.
And that opened up the door. In 7 years, I've worked on almost 70 projects.
Yeah, no, I was watching your IMDb. It's very impressive.
Thank you. It's been fun. I mean, this is my I'm trying to transition into my second career. So I've been working as a graphic designer my whole life, but I've fell in love with acting. It's challenging. And I truly, that's what I love to do. So I want to scare the crap out of everybody.
Right. Have you always had this compulsion? Like when you were a kid, you would just go up and start scaring people or?
No, but like when you got a mug like this, it's really easy. So.
But I was also going to say when you had hair, were you not scary or?
No, it was just like a rocker dude, long, you know, that's why I fit in Airheads. I got one little scene. They dubbed a voice on me. I went with the beer. That was
so wait a second. You got a line and then they cut it out and you got, so.
No, I went like this. And they dubbed a voice over me saying,
they dubbed ADR. A belch over you.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it could be worse.
Well, I got to say, going back to the fact you asked him if this is like, if he knew that he liked to scare people, I think all of us discovered at a young age, we just liked horror. Like, if you like it, you like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I discovered it when I started doing zombie walks with my kids because I would do my own makeup. And running around, like we would meet in Hollywood and it'd be like a charity that we'd raise money for either the fire department for Spark of Love. Zombies would gather and donations and stuff by Christmas time, or we'd do it for a back to school. But being in Hollywood or being in a place where people aren't expecting a horde of zombies to come up, you know, they're sitting there too busy on their phones. And when you can see who the targets are and it's so easy to scare the crap out of somebody, but you have to do it carefully so you don't get punched. So you just kind of stay back, but get on their side and just. And it's,
you're good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a pro, but let's be honest. If you're going down Hollywood Boulevard, you're going to run into one zombie or two. You know, every couple blocks. They're usually pissing against the wall, but you'll see them.
Block a zombie.
What's that? Yeah.
Well,
they're called a block a zombie.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with that is when you have the whole horde, like We've had as many as 300 zombies that meet up at one time, which is great, you know. But when the crowd started getting smaller and smaller and smaller, so at the end, we were like maybe 20 zombies. And then we were taking the train back, and I'm the only zombie on the train. You look a little funny sometimes, but I just stare. You just stare at them, and they get nervous. They hate making eye contact, you know. But then sometimes people will be crazy and stare back, and I'm like, just start minding my own business.
Now, did you have get any training to make a face like that? Because I got to figure that out. That's a good.
Which face?
Your scary face. Your.
So let's have a stare contest.
No, but you're so much scarier than I am.
I can't do it. You win.
Anyways, and Mortis, you got a scary face, right? I've seen it on stage.
What?
You've this got a guy? Scary face. I've seen it on stage.
Yeah.
Give us a scary face for YouTube. And then, of course, the Mortis dolls, your dancers, including your beautiful wife, Lillian, they have their scary faces too, and that's frightening. But so since you have, and we wish you, go ahead. What is that? Please explain
this.
He's holding a mask, folks, just for people on audio.
This.
It's a, okay.
It's putting on the mask.
It says Mortis mask.
Mortis mask.
This is the new mask for the new setup for Faust.
Awesome.
That's your Faustian mask.
Yep. You ever see Phantom of the Paradise?
Yes. Great movie.
Love that movie. That's what's inspired me to do my Faust. I was figuring, what happened if that happened to me? I'm going through that whole scenario of losing my voice and having to relearn to sing all over again. So I grew up watching that, and it was really close to me. So I was like, fuck it. I've always wanted to do a Faust album. So why not write what I can now? And then when I figure out what my vocal cords are, when it's done, lay down all the vocals and release it. And it'll be different than the first two chapters, because it'll have nothing to do with the books of Mortis. It's going to be a separate entity, but still in the Mortis line.
That's cool. I wrote a story about that cliche deal with the devil, the same concept as me as a writer. I can't wait to see it. I think you're going to do a great job.
As artists, we really know that idea of selling our souls and our art to the devil just so we can 100%. Have it.
Yeah, and, especially Hollywood.
Right, and the fact that the pandemic hit and now... you know, your voice is in jeopardy. Jesus might be trying to cancel that deal that you have with the devil. I don't know. He might be interfering.
Yeah, well, I bet. But with the horror now, it's in light of everything, I'm going to be doing more horror movies. And my company, 13 Dead Studios, is slowly lifting off the ground. I am going to be filming a full feature-length film, which I'm going to try to have released in theaters for a brief period of time, like a weekend. And then it's going to be on something like Amazon or whatever. I'm going to be doing a full feature film on my character, the Ripper.
The Ripper.
Badass. The Ripper.
Tell us about the Ripper.
The Ripper is a lot like Jason when it comes to being able to be killed. He's some type of creature that just doesn't go down easy. He's aware of this. He's got carvings that you can just lightly see. That's from years of decay and other stuff. His mouth is a little rotted in a way because he's a carnivore. He's not really human. He's not really not human. He's kind of like, remember the Mimic?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of like an old creature, like Jeepers Creepers, a mimic, but you can tell while seeing him, he's not quite human. He doesn't go after the usual storyline horror synopsis, and he has a way about how he's going to do things. And in the songs, the first introduction of him is called Watch Out, the Ripper Comes. And we had clips of all these women beat up in his chair, one trying to get away, and I was sitting there as the Ripper recording my newscast to the world, telling him one by one, you shall all bleed for me. every so often he just goes on a spree and then sits for a while. He could be in someone's house having them for dinner for 6 months, then decide to uproot, go somewhere else. And he has no mercy on how he does things. It's very brutal, very upfront, very up close.
Yes, yeah, sounds like a couple of Nicole's dinner dates. About it.
Only in Hollywood,
this is why,
right?
The delay sucks. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I smiled. But, laughed.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mortis. I couldn't resist.
No, it was good. That was good. I liked it. That was funny. But the overall feel for the film is going to be, we're going to show all of this. We're going to show him going after his victims one by one. At the moment, the Ripper has a body count of 6 on screen. Our goal is to eliminate the largest number of kill counts on screen and outdo it by a certain amount to really get his rating up and more talk about the film.
What is the largest number of kill counts on one screen?
One of our buddies and friends, Jason Voorhees, Kane Hodder, has the most, and I think it's Jason Takes Manhattan or something like that. It's 26 or 25 kills on screen.
Wow. I bet you can outdo it.
Oh, I already wrote a scene to way outdo it.
But
so that's going to be it's going to be fun. We're in pre-production right now. I'm writing up the rest of the script. I got the whole thing together. I'm creating the rest of the character stuff. This is the Ripper's mask.
Ooh. It's a very creepy mask. It's almost animal like. I've seen variations of that in S&M Dungeons, but that's a little more extreme than what I've been used to.
I like the way that you use your art and you express yourself, not just with the screenplays and the songs, but all the way to the art itself. Like it's physically tangible. I think that's cool.
Well, here's another great fact about it. I will be playing the Ripper in the movie.
That's awesome. Why the mask fits you. It's genius. I got it.
I would imagine you'd be playing the Ripper.
There's some characters I can't play, but this one I really want to play. I've been training. I'm starting to work out, lose some weight, because I've also been contracted to be in a film where to start butt naked. I don't know how this happened, but it happened. So, Then they decided that in the Ripper film, I need to be naked also. So I'm trying to tone up as much as I can. And my fans and my lovely wife over there has been trying to push me into getting a Patreon account. So as soon as I get a little bit things going, I'll be working on that too. And we're working on some revamps for the new image for Faust. So I have to get kind of toned for all of this crap. So yeah, it's fun.
So you've been exercising.
Not much exercising, more just getting out, making sure I walk, eating the right foods, don't overdo myself, and at least get up and do something every day. I want to lean out, not bulk up.
Right, right. Now, I think this is a good direction, and this is something you've been talking about for a while. I know we had you on with the screenwriter wrote Deep Blue Sea and The Italian Job, and,
we're talking about back then.
Yeah. So we were talking about that while he was hitting on your wife, but you were talking about it. I think it's a good direction, because is there any way to shock anybody with music anymore? There's no way.
There is, but I refuse to go that route.
How would you do that? After all the punk, all the rap, all the metal, all the demonic stuff that's come out, how would you shock somebody?
You'd have to go off brand and talk about stuff that's so far par you'll get canceled before it gets aired. That's about it. But you don't want to do that.
That doesn't even sound like fun. Like, I'm totally anti-censorship, but if you have to be an ass recognized, what's the fucking point of that?
Although a lot of my songs weren't originally allowed to be played on certain places because they said it wasn't allowed in general public, and I ended up getting one song banned from the internet.
Yay!
Congratulations.
You got your own warning label. That's an instant hit.
I got a warning label on my comedy CD, so it's The warning labels are such a big deal, and now it's like, if you don't have a warning label, who wants to listen to it?
Exactly. Right? It's like one of my dreams to have my book banned in schools, you know, just for the street cred.
Dare to dream, Nicole. Now, I will tell you who's really achieved probably a dream come true. Noel, and I was watching, I rewatched it last night, was in the latest Puppet Master movie.
Yes.
Blade the Iron Cross. Now, how are they able to use Blade when Blade, there was another Blade?
No, that's Blade. That's a funny story, because when I said, I got cast in the new Puppet Master movie, I'm going to be in Blade the Iron Cross. It's like, Blade? Really, Blade? I love Blade. Vampires are awesome. And I'm like, no, it's not that Blade. It's the little puppet. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, I'm like, no, it's cool. Like, puppets.
Sure.
But people that know Puppet Master are fans. It's been that first one came out like in 1989. They've done like 12 or 13 of them. One of them is done
from what I saw.
Fangoria did one that's a licensed offshoot, but it's in its own universe. It's not part of the canon.
The Puppet Master verse.
Yeah.
Now, were you a fan of Puppet Master before you did this movie?
Yes. I mean, I've seen the movies and everything, but I was more of a fan. I love Full Moon movies, but my son and my kids love Puppet Master. And there's a picture that when we started going to like Monster Palooza, one of the tables, Ken Hall, who is the original writer of the original first Puppet Master movie, had the original script sitting on his table and a replica doll. So my son was maybe like 6 or 7 at the time, and he was posing with the picture. I had him hold up the script with the doll, and we took this picture. And almost 10 years later, I think he was like 6, almost 10 years later, it's come full circle where we were just fans, and now I'm in the movie. I'm in the franchise. And that was just, I couldn't believe it. When I got cast in, I wanted to bring them to set so bad, but we shot that right before COVID hit. And then we did it the summer before. That would have been in 2019. And then we did pickups in January, about the same time, about the third week of January. And that's right when everybody started first hearing about it. And we were really lucky. We got it completely shot in time.
Right. Now, Mortis is a fan of Puppet Master. Do what you were just about to do and say something while you do it so people can see it on YouTube.
You have to use your voice or the little square doesn't go on you.
Yeah, say something, Mortis.
But Blade doesn't say anything. He just looks at you and fucks shit up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He jacked me up all right.
Yeah. And
I got to do stunts with him.
Now, how do you do stunts with a puppet? Please tell us.
Very carefully.
Oh, that's fun.
You know, he has a stunt double. I swear to God.
And the puppet has a stunt double.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you have like the screen puppet that's, you know, the real deal. And then there's the one that's the screen puppet. Well, I made the mistake of taking a picture with the stunt double, which is like a rough version of it. And every single fan started like, ew, that's ugly. I don't like the way that looks, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, Guys, it's not the real deal. It's the stuntman version of it, because we were able to grab it, roughhouse it, throw it, and, you know, beat it up, you know, and then he came, beat me up. So, you know, we had our time, but the fans are really particular. There's like, everybody's a critic. And but overall, I think the movie came out awesome.
Is this somebody that has like a motion capture suit?
So it was a combination of multiple things. So that to bring him to life, some of the close-ups were done with a real puppet, and then for the scenes where like Blade's running around, that was played by my friend Alan Maxson, who's a creature actor. He's awesome. I've done like maybe almost 10 movies with him, and Alan Maxson, they made a life-size 6-foot-tall Blade suit for him, and they shot him on a green screen. So he would run and do all the hook things and the stabbings and like run around, and they would take him and superimpose him to be able to come to life. So it's a combination of lots of different technology.
That's really cool. That's just really cool to hear. Like, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, Alan's a great guy. We did a Dead Dame in Hollywood together. That was our 1940s noir comedy. That's like a kind of like the Maltese Falcon meets Airplane. Okay. You know, so, the nice. Jokes, like the Naked Gun.
I'll check that out.
Yeah. We shot it in black and white. It's on Amazon, on Amazon Prime. But it's really funny. I think you could rent it for like $2. But I played the chief of police on that. But Alan and I have worked on a lot of different projects right now. And he's actually directing his own movie. It's called Alien Planet. He'd be a great guest for you to have on. He was in the new Godzilla movie. Not the King Kong one, but the King of Monsters. He was the right head of King Ghidorah. So
let me concentrate on you as a guest because I like you. I'm trying to be in the moment. We're acting. I'm trying to be in the moment here now.
Focus.
And let me give you an acting question. Mortis, did you see Blade the Iron Cross? Did you see Blade the Iron Cross yet?
No, I haven't seen the new ones yet. I'm scared too, but he's going to convince me to. We talked last time, so I'm going to watch him.
Okay, now this one is kind of noirish itself because noirish, not like horish, noirish.
Yeah.
In that it's set late 1940s, early 1950s, I think. It's post-war.
1946, I think.
Okay. Now, what accent were you doing? Because I thought you were really funny, but I couldn't pin it down.
Well, it was supposed to be like a New York accent. I didn't know what I was doing, but it's sort of like that. But in some reviews, some guy says I was amusing. My accent was amusing. It was a cross between Boston and Long Island. And I looked it up on the map, and it's like that far apart. So I think I did good.
Yeah, I was just like trying. There was an accent there. I just couldn't quite figure it out.
I just thought it was a funny accent for a cop. I based my entire character on one word. I had to say the word binoculars, and I said binoculars. Oh. That has a funny ring to it. So kind of like a little bit of Bugs Bunny and, you know.
Not the, she's a fine filly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's a fine filly. Yeah.
And by the way, like I said, I thought you were very funny, but it was like when I saw Usual Suspects, and Benicio del Toro had this weird act. I'm like, the fuck is, I don't even know, what is he, where is he supposed to be from? And when I saw your performance, it kind of gave me those Benicio del Toro vibes. It's funny, it works, but I don't know what they're doing.
You're
flipping like real, and you're like, what are you talking about? But yes.
Anyway. I think I like the accent. I think it goes well with the whole 1940s detective thing.
Yeah, well, I was a beat cop, because I had a bully stick. My character's name is Big Cop Bruce, Big
Cop
Bruce.
You're a cop on the take.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. I don't want to spoil anything. But I'm definitely like pushing people around, and I'm definitely a bully. And you know, and it came out in a time when bully cops aren't very popular. So you know, boo hiss.
I thought the 1940s was in the 1950s. That was the heyday of the bully cop.
Maybe, yeah, but not
like
not
every movie you see, like the bully cop and the Irish cop, like, come on, get out of here, you know, you little kids. That's when the bully
cop. What are you doing here? You know, I'm not.
And the first time I saw it, I did catch that you had two roles.
Yeah, I tried to squeeze in two different things. I play a news. A person in the newsroom.
Right. Because the mustache didn't fool me. No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to, he's like, we need extra people. And I'm like, I'm available. And he's like, you're a chameleon. You can do this. So I put on a mustache and glasses and tried to turn into my grandpa. Yeah. you have a keen eye. I'm glad that you noticed.
Yes. Well, I was watching it for the puppets and for Noel, and I was not disappointed with either. Now, Mortis, what horror movies are your favorites?
All of them.
Well, actually, let me go, because we have a new segment on the show. Uh-oh. And since we're running down time, and I know Nicole's, we got to keep it tight. this is a new bit, and then we're going to wrap up the show. I do have to ask you about that movie that got canceled, but before then.
I mean, the series?
Whatever it was, but what's your fetish? What is your favorite fetish?
My favorite fetish?
Yes.
You're talking about a sexual fetish.
A sexual fetish. What is your favorite sexual fetish? We were doing
this. This is a surprise.
Mortis the Devil's Reject. What is your favorite sexual fetish? We're going to ask all of our guests this, and you don't have to answer, but we would love to hear it.
It's flesh. I like it. It has to be a certain smell to it and texture to it and the taste and the way it feels. And it's a very erotic thing. And it's a very spiritual connection type thing. And if the flesh hits just right, then it's perfect. But it's all about that. That's my biggest kink of fetish. It has to be the flesh.
Well, thanks for telling us, since we're all sequestered and I haven't had a hug or a handshake in over a year. Thank you for, and meanwhile, you're touching the beautiful Lillian Sin's flesh. And are the envy of, I'm going to weep when I masturbate tonight, but at least she follows me on OnlyFans. Noel, what is your favorite sexual fetish?
That's a loaded
not Nicole
question.
Noel.
Oh,
I figured that out. Go ahead.
But I read that's a tough question. I enjoy the curves of a beautiful woman, and necklines are very sexy. I'll just leave it at that. You know, it's
like
part of the
curvy body.
Part of the vampire in me just wants to just savor a beautiful neck. And
do you like that? Do you like biting necks and things like that?
It's possible.
Yeah, you've given a few deep, huge hickeys in your time.
You got teeth. I mean, yes.
Very nice. I mean,
yeah. A hickey from Nicky.
Yes. So more to say, tell us. So there was fetish. There's our ta-da. That what's your fetish, Mortis?
Like
tell
that.
Us about this. This is why I wanted to have you guys here, and hopefully we'll hear Lillian at some point shortly in the future. But what happened with this series? What is with this series? Both you, Lillian, Noel, and a bunch of my friends, like posted this thing on Facebook about you were going to be in this series. All these big horror stars are going to be in it, and then the next day it's like, okay, this is bullshit.
From what I gathered from my end first, before a lot of other people I talked to about it, and then everything fell apart, I was starting to have issues because he wanted me to design posters that copied other shows. And I told him I'm not going to do that. So I'd feed him new ideas. The scripts I was writing for him, he was trying to get me to do certain things. And I told him I'm not going to do that because I am, one, very creative on my way what I do. And two, if it sounds too cheesy or too part of the way that goes against being creative, especially copywriting or copying from something else, not making original, which you know I like to do, yeah, I would fight with him about it. It was okay. Then I read something on some type of WikiLeaks type thing about him being a forgery before. And then there was some issues with some artwork he wanted me to design when I called him on it. And then someone called him else on it. And at the very end of everything, making a long story short, we found out he was a fraud in returning all the money and never contacted half of the people he said he had for the film. He was going to basically do a Philip Seymour.
Okay. I don't know what that is, but basically he was doing a GoFundMe for this series. Yeah, he was doing a GoFundMe for the series. Mm-hmm.
And the series
said all these horror stars were in it. You were involved. Noel's involved. Lily was involved.
There was several dozen. There's lots of
few actual horror legends he talked to. That was it.
Yeah. But so we had
again. Noel, tell us from your perspective what happened.
Well, we had assembled. I mean, it wasn't just the phony part, but we had assembled a great group of real people. Hardworking people like Mortis and everybody, and other creatives, other writers, other special effects people. I mean, they were putting together from on the surface, it looked like the best project ever, you know, and everybody was really excited. So it's kind of like one of these things of like, we're all on board. This is great. And when it fell apart, like I got cast as Gacy, and I shared the post, and that post blew up. I've never had a post get like over 700 likes, and shares, and it was crazy. And
maybe you should start killing people and hiding them in the attic.
Yeah, well, something like that. But you know, so when everything fell apart, Mortis and everybody had put a lot of time into these things. So, you know, we had said, hey, you know, the people that are legit, we kind of branched off and made our own little. We decided we're going to continue to work with each other just without the problematic people. So we eliminated that, and out of the ashes, we're going to. This phoenix is going to rise up, and we're going to still make something cool. Yeah. You know?
Yep.
Make bloody lemonade.
Well, something like that. But there will be lots of blood, and Mortis is writing the Gacy episode right now. So we're going to still be creepy and clowny scare the crap out of most of the world.
Can you picture Noel as John Wayne Gacy, Nicole?
Oh, yeah. We're.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, easily. I was actually thinking about, I have this friend, Lou, who he's an artist in San Diego, who he calls himself Lou Wayne Gacy. And he has like original art pieces of like Gacy that he drew, which are scary because they look like a child drew them. Like that's his actual art style.
Is that Lou Rosconi?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine. He's awesome.
Going to say that you guys he has more hair, but you guys kind of look alike. You both... I think I can see either one of you as a Gacy.
Well, also, Noel is a video game character now as well. Noel, briefly tell us about that.
Okay. I've been cast in a video game called Dark Mean City that's being developed for PlayStation 5. And the company that's doing that is called Argos Real Games. They're on Instagram, and I guess you can insert some photos of a character, but they digitized my face. I'm going to be playing the character of Dr. Philip, and Dr. Philip has got some crazy dark ideas that he's going to be inflicting on people and in this dark, mean city. So it's an action adventure type game, and it's in production right now, and there's actually big news. There's going to be an official announcement on Instagram coming in March. So if you look up Argos, ARGOS, Real Games on Instagram, you'll find a digital mug of myself and the rest of the cast. News is coming. So if you follow them, you'll be able to keep up with it.
Are your kids looking forward to playing you as a video game?
Technically, I'm a non-playable character. So
okay,
well, but
as killing you in a video game.
Well, I don't know, but if they did, I'm sure my son would have lots of fun doing horrible stuff with my body.
I can imagine. Well, that's a good way to end it. We could talk all night, but Mortis, tell everybody what's going on with you and where we can get some Mortis merchandise and everything that you do.
I want to buy one of those shirts. That shirt's awesome.
Right. Mortis Nightmares is going to be the show that's taking over originally for Once Upon a Nightmare. We're getting the staff together right now so we can figure out what shows we have, how much the budget's going to cost. To help with that, I'm going to be printing out a bunch of shirts, backpacks, other little perks like that, that can be bought off my website at mortisthedevilsrejects.com on my store. And that'll help with that. And then once we get the promo shots done, we're going to update those with some other packages. I'm in talks with some other people to help with this. I got off of a phone call earlier with Volkills, for those who know who he is. And we're going to be talking about some other major stuff. But right now, we're just getting Mortis Nightmares together. We're going to be doing Watch Out the Ripper Comes. And for those that have been following us for a while, I'm going to be getting a production for this fall, the movie for Annie the Doll. And it's going to be really, really fucked up. Right. Those that don't know Annie Doll, that's the nun doll that Lillian carried everywhere she went. We just sent it off for a film, and we're going to be doing a new rendition of her for this movie.
Well, who knows? Maybe she and Blade will lock up in the future. Who knows? But Mortis Nightmares, that's great. And good luck with your nodes. I hope everything is just an infection, will go away, and you'll be singing like normal. And all the best to Lillian. Yeah. I know she's a little under the weather as well, but I always give her my best. And Noel, how do people get a hold of you and all that you do?
Just look up Noel Jason Scott. I'm the only one.
Because there's another Noel Scott in SAG, I'm assuming.
Yeah, well, there's lots of Noel Scotts. I thought it was a unique name, but there's a million. But if it goes Noel Jason Scott, it's easy to find me on IMDb. It has a list of all the credits on Instagram and Facebook.
And Nicole, how do people get a hold of you?
I'm still rebranding with my social media. So right now, just go follow me on Instagram at Nicole6Books. And also, if you are looking to grow your Instagram, I've been doing that for a small fee. I've been helping people get hundreds of followers a month, and I'd love to help you too. So,
yes, I can vouch for that. And go to Goth Comedian on all social media, Dark Marcho on all social media. I had a blast. Thanks, Noel and Mortis. Thank you for being on the show. And everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.